From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer, and I'm starting to get excited. The World Cup begins this week in Brazil. A country, yes, a country in South America. But to me, Brazil seems like it must be a magical place, because apparently everyone there shares my twin obsessions, music and soccer. So, how will the Americans do? Will we even survive a tough first stage of the tournament? Will Brazil, despite the crushing weight of expectations, samba its way to a sixth World Cup? Or will their fierce rivals from Argentina smuggle the cup back over the border? Will the Germans wilt in the heat? And what about the Spaniards, the top team in the world for the past 6 years? Are they just a little past their prime, or do they still have what it takes? And what will these World Cup games sound like? Remember, in South Africa 4 years ago, everyone was talking about the vuvuzela, the cheap plastic horns that made a ginormous din. Well, this year, Brazil is attempting to ban its own soccer noisemaker, the humble rattle known as the cachirola. Of course, that's not the only sound you're likely to hear if you watch the World Cup, and in a moment, we'll bring you the music of one of the host cities of this year's tournament. We've also got live music from Kishibashi, who blends voice, violin, looping, and a strangely constructed band to make really catchy but strangely constructed pop. And the mashup artist known as Girl Talk is back with more of his legally dubious music, this time done in collaboration with the rapper Freeway. They'll both join us later on Soundcheck. But for now, back to Brazil. O meu santo é muito forte, meu poder é na magia, salve todos os orixás, do encanto da alegria. Roda baiana, mostra seu gingado, esse maracatu é de baque virado. The Cup is approaching, and as the world turns its attention to Brazil, we here at Soundcheck bring you another in our occasional series highlighting music from the different regions of the country's massive musical universe. Today we'll look at the state of Pernambuco in the northeast of the country, home to the city of Recife, one of a dozen or so venues for this year's football matches. And joining me is Scott Kettner, percussionist and founder of this educational ensemble, Maracatu New York. We're hearing a bit of them in the background, and they're dedicated to teaching the sounds of Pernambuco to folks here in New York. Scott Kettner, a long time. Welcome back.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me, John.
Before we get to the music and the World Cup in the northeast of Brazil, tell me quickly how you came to be so involved in this part of the world.
Well, I was studying jazz here in New York City at the New School University, and my drum set teacher was Billy Hart. And he was turning me on to a lot of different rhythms from around the world, and Brazil happened to be one of the main ones. And at that time, it was mostly samba and bossa nova, which was all everybody thought about. So I was getting deep into that. And after a few years of studying those rhythms, I started to get more curious and interested about Brazil. And I asked Billy Hart, I said, Billy, is there anything else from Brazil that I should learn? And he said, yeah, man, there's this rhythm called maracatu. And I pointed to his drum set and I said, well, show it to me. He says, man, I don't know how to play it. I just know it's a badass rhythm and you got to go learn it and come back and teach it to me.
Yeah.
And I graduated and packed my bags and moved to Recife to learn maracatu.
Now, for folks who don't know who Billy Hart is, he's a veteran jazz drummer, a great jazz drummer. And for him to say, I don't know how to play it, is a pretty startling thing because there's very little Billy Hart can't play.
Exactly.
So you went to what looks like Recife, but is pronounced Recife.
Recife.
What is maracatu? Is it just a rhythm? Is it more than that?
It's way more than a rhythm. Maracatu is a culture. It's a way of life. It's a history of the people, of the struggle of the slaves in that region of Brazil. It's so much more than music. And I learned that by living there and studying with Maracatu Nação, Estrela Brilhante, and a lot of other mentors there in history.
Now say that again a little slower, because we're going to hear this band now.
Maracatu Nação, Estrela Brilhante.
Right. And this is a group probably now in its fifth or sixth generation of musicians,
They were
right?
founded in 1906. And so, yeah, they've been around for a while.
Yeah. So it's like the samba schools further south in Brazil, right?
It's like a parallel. It's a community, basically. These maracatu groups, they serve as a place where street kids can get off the street.
Mm-hmm.
They provide a support system for people in the communities, you know, a place where people can come and play music and be a part of a community. It's a very important aspect and a very important part of life there in Recife, these maracatu groups provide.
All right, and this one has been in action for over 100 years, and here's an example, a song called Brilho.
Brilhou, brilhou, iluminou de norte a sul. Jorentina, Erondina, olha o mestre Cangaro Sul.
Jorentina, Erondina, olha o mestre Cangaro Sul.
Sou nação verdadeira, sou estrela que vivo a brilhar. No compasso do bate virado, dança e brilha a corte real. Jorentina, Erondina, olha o mestre Cangaro Sul.
So that is some maracatu music from northeastern Brazil, from the city of Recife. Scott Kettner, the band leader, songwriter, percussionist, founder of the groups Nation Beat and Maracatu New York, is here with me in the Soundcheck studio. And we're giving you a kind of guided tour to yet another facet of Brazilian music in advance of the World Cup. Scott, last time we were sort of looking at music of the Amazon region, you know, further mm-hmm. up towards Manaus, where nobody wants to play football at this World Cup. Is Recife also tropical, equatorial, really humid?
Very humid, very hot. It's very close to the equator. It's brutal. It's brutal. But luckily for down there right now, it's their winter.
Yeah, what does that mean?
That means it's about 80 or 90 degrees.
Now, in South Africa, the last World Cup, there was a lot of controversy about the vuvuzelas, the long mm-hmm. plastic tubes. Now they're talking about trying to ban these rattle.
The cachirola. Actually, I was just reading an article while I was in the lobby waiting to come in. They've just banned those.
How are they going to – now, when 50,000 Brazilians show up with these little things, what are they going to do? So is this throughout Brazil? Is it specific to one of the – because one of the things we're learning here is every region is like a world unto itself.
Yeah. Well, Carlinhos Brown created the cachirola, which is based on the cachixi, which is a hand-woven shaker instrument
right,
with beads
right.
inside of it. Naná Vasconcelos, who is from Recife, was one of the main percussionists who kind of popularized the cachixi instrument and yeah. brought it, contemporized it.
So what do you think? Are they really going to be able to stop people from playing this thing?
We'll have to wait and see.
All right. While we're waiting and seeing, let's continue listening. Tell me about Coco.
So coco is a very, very diverse style of music from the northeast of Brazil, and it's very prevalent in the state of Pernambuco. And to my knowledge, the coco came from when the slaves were packing the dirt for the floors of the houses that they were building for the slave owners. They started to put wooden shoes on. To pack the dirt.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that evolved and became a dance. They started to dance together in rhythm to pack the dirt. And then they started to chant and clap and sing songs. And that, it's like kind of the equivalent of our work songs.
Field hollers and stuff.
Exactly. And that's one of the main origins of the Koko music. There's also a lot of heavy indigenous influence in this music, the instruments that they use, certain shakers.
Mm. Well, so who should we listen to? Who's a good exemplar of this
style?
Well,
we're going to listen to one of my close friends. Her name is Dona Sila do Koko. She's a beautiful woman and a great singer and a beautiful spirit, and she lives in Olinda. And in Olinda, there's probably 40 or 50 different Koko singers, traditional Koko singers, and they all sing with their own different style, their different prose and rhymes and different rhythms and the way that they resolve their rhymes and everything. And she's one of the great ones living there in Olinda today.
All right. Her name is Dona Sila do Koko.
Levava pro meio do salão, que a poeira cobria, ninguém via. E daí se apagava o lampião e o coco findava no outro dia.
Foi aqui no painel que eu fiz esse coco levantar poeira. Foi aqui no painel que eu fiz esse coco levantar poeira.
Poeira cobria, candeia apagava e bem.
So that's a little bit of Koko music from northeastern Brazil, from Dona Sila do Koko, and a song called Koko do Pneu.
Koko do Pneu.
Which is the Koko of the Tire.
Of the Tire, which is an area in Olinda. It's like a little neighborhood in Olinda.
So as with the maracatu music we were hearing a moment ago, very kind of voice and drum based, right, call and response, deeply rooted music. Mm-hmm. Sounds like the kind of thing you would hear on the terraces in the stadiums while the games are being played.
Most likely.
But this is not the Brazilian music that we're hearing, you know, in the run-up to the World
Cup. Not in the media, not in the mainstream, definitely not. And I think that's, you know, why this is such a great opportunity for listeners to hear something different than what they're hearing from the media.
Because we will be hearing a lot of music from São Paulo and Rio de Janeiro.
Absolutely.
And, you know, justifiably so. But all these different states in Brazil with their individual styles. And Scott Kettner here with me on Soundcheck, talking specifically about the state of Pernambuco. The city of Recife will be one of the dozen or so sites of the World Cup. And one of the sounds of the state of Pernambuco that we have begun to hear in the states, the United States of America, as opposed to the United States of Brazil, is forró.
Yes.
F-O-R-R-O.
Forró.
Forró.
Yep.
Which is, you know, I'm sure there's a traditional style, but there's also a more contemporary forró kind of sound as well.
Yeah, the forró, there's a lot of different manifestations of forró music today. There's, you know, the ultra pop, you know, style. And then there's people who are a little bit more rootsy. And then there's the real traditionalists. This next track we're going to hear is by a good friend of mine. His name is Maciel Salu, who was the son of the great Rabeca player, Mestre Salustiano. And the Rabeca is a rural fiddle instrument that's handmade in the northeast of Brazil. And
now, see, I thought forró was built around the accordion.
Most people do, and it's because when Luiz Gonzaga was considered the king of forró music, he really brought this music to the mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
He popularized it. Before him, though, this instrument, the rabeca, had been in Brazil possibly for 100 or more years before the accordion came to Brazil.
So
a lot of people think that this forró music was played on the rabeca before the accordion came. And what happened was when the accordion made it to Brazil from Europe, it's such a louder instrument. It was easier for them to play on top of the percussion instruments and be heard. So it replaced the rabeca. In the past, I would say in the past 15 to 20 years, the rabeca has been making a huge resurgence in the northeast of Brazil. And what's really interesting is that you'll only find the rabeca in the northeastern region of Brazil. It doesn't exist anywhere else in Brazil.
Well, let's hear it. Maciel Salu is the gentleman's name.
Yes.
And this is an example of forró music from northeastern Brazil. from Brazil, from the state of Pernambuco. That is Maciel Salu and a song called, Scott Kettner, help me out here.
Se tem rabeca e zabumba.
Which means?
If you have a rabeca and a zabumba, which is a drum.
The drum.
The bass drum, the heartbeat of the music.
So if you got a fiddle and you got a drum, you're good to go.
You're good to go.
Kind of need a ball, though. We're looking at the music of Brazil in the run-up to the World Cup, and today on Soundcheck, focusing in on the state of Pernambuco in the Northeast, perhaps the second least desired spot that the teams are looking to play in, because it will be hot.
It's going to be hot.
Just going to be hot. And so is the music. And, you know, while we've heard some very traditional kind of roots-based stuff, as we get to the people like Chico Science, the late mm-hmm. Chico Science, mm-hmm. We get into a much more contemporary sound world.
Yes.
Now, he was known for this particular movement, right?
Right, the Mangue Beat movement, which what he did was he took the music that he grew up hearing, the folkloric music, all of these styles that we just listened to. He took all of those styles and he took his influence from the radio, all the music, all the American music, North American music he mm-hmm. was hearing on the radio, such as funk and hip hop and heavy metal and rap and rock and roll. And he fused those two, all of those elements together and helped create the Mangue Beat movement, helped mm-hmm. popularize it.
And this is in the 90s. And he died, he was really young.
Very young.
He was like 30.
26 or 27.
Really?
Yeah.
Died in a car accident like at the late 90s, right? So yeah. This is very much a 90s phenomenon.
Yes. He only made two albums. And those two albums are still, it's like the Jimi Hendrix. Mm. You know, it's like, it's still taking effect. People are still wondering how he did that.
And his band, Nassau Zumbi?
They're still playing a lot. They just released a new album, I think.
Well, here they are backing up the late Chico Science. That is the late Chico Science and his band Nassau Zumbi. And I'll give this title a crack. Rios, Pontes, Overdrives?
Rios, Pontes, e Overdrives.
What would that be? Rivers, Bridges, and...
And the Overdrive.
And the Overdrive.
Yeah.
All right. So that's an example of this Mangue Beat movement right. that Chico Science was a part of, taking some of the traditional sounds we've been listening to, marrying them to contemporary Western pop music. And Scott, you yourself, with your band Nation Beat, it's been a while since Nation Beat has played here on Soundcheck, but this is what you do too, right? It's this kind of fusion of North and South.
Exactly. While I was living in Recife, I started to notice that there was a lot of similarities with the culture and the music from the Northeast of Brazil and the music I grew up hearing in the South. So, you know, for instance, that the fiddle and mm-hmm. the rabeca. And the accordion in Zydeco music, and the accordion in Fajol music, and the processional music of Maracatu, and the processional music of the New Orleans second line bands, and
right.
and all of these elements, they started to just kind of come up to me, and I decided that I was going to put together a band that, like you said, married these elements together, and that's what I've been doing for the past 12 years with Nation Beat. Mm-hmm. And Chico Science was a huge influence on me, as well as all those other artists we just listened to. And I think that what needs to be said about Chico is that I don't think we would be having this conversation if he hadn't done that. Because, like, for instance, Maracatu was on its way to becoming extinct.
Yeah.
And
so he sort of shone a spotlight on
it. He shone
stuff.
A spotlight on it. And that was – Maracatu was the heartbeat, really, of Nassau Zumbi. That really was – like those drums, those Maracatu Alfaia drums was – really at the forefront of Nação Zumbi. And what happened was, is as he began to become more popular, people around the world started asking themselves, what is that drum? What is that rhythm? What is that?
Yeah.
And that drew all of us, people like myself, all down straight to his Sifi. And we were just all blown away. And that's where Nation Beat was born, was out of that experience of living in his Sifi.
Well, the world will be watching in Recife as the World Cup unfolds, in part in that hot city in the northeast of Brazil, where Scott Kettner has spent so much of his time. We'll wrap up with some of Scott's band, Nation Beat. But, Scott, a great pleasure to see you. Thanks for the guided tour of the music of Pernambuco.
Thanks for having me, John.
Fora. Vou embolar por aí de mundo afora. Vou embolar que ali vamos embora. Não me pergunte a hora que volto pro meu lugar. Vou embolar por aí de mundo afora. Vou embolar por aí de mundo afora. Vou embolar que ali vamos embora. Não me pergunte a hora que volto pro meu lugar. Puxo boi, qual é puxo boi? Puxo boi, qual é puxo boi? Puxo boi, qual é puxo boi? Um cara é a ladeira, qual é puxo boi? Puxo boi, qual é puxo boi? Puxo boi, qual é puxo boi?
That's the song Puxa O Boy by Scott Kettner's group Nation Beat. Up next, the looping violinist and singer known as Kishibashi is also fond of mixing up his influences. He'll play songs from his new record Light live here in the studio. And later, more sampling madness than you can shake a mic at, as the producer Girl Talk teams up with the rapper Freeway. They'll talk about their latest project together. This is Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. If you're familiar with the musician Kishibashi, it's probably through this breakout 2012 song called Bright Whites. Kei Ishibashi, to use his real name, uses violin, vocals, and looping to create pop music that's as interesting as it is catchy. He started performing as a violinist for acts like Regina Spektor and the band Of Montreal before turning to a solo career. His new album is called Light. And Kishibashi, with his band, joins us here in the Soundcheck studio to play some of those songs for us. This first one is called Philosophize in It, Chemicalize with It. It's Kishibashi, live on Soundcheck.
Thank you. that is a live performance in our studio from Kishibashi, singing, playing the violin, looping, doing a little beatboxing, a regular one-man band, except that there are three other men in the band. Daniel Bruner on voice and bass, Michael Savino playing banjo, doing more backing vocals, Philip Meyer behind our drum kit, and Cake, to you and the rest of the band, welcome back to Soundcheck.
Thank you so much for having us.
So, Philosophize in It, Chemicalize with It is the name of that song, which reminds me of the old Palmolive commercial, You're Soaking in It. I'm dating myself, but there is a kind of a, there's a commercial background to that song.
Are you trying to pull the story out of me?
I am.
Well, yeah, I actually wrote it for a Japanese cell phone commercial. Originally, it was just a 30-second little snippet, but it had my name on it in the corner, and it became really popular, and people really started asking me about it, so I was forced to finish the song.
So on Japanese television, when there's a song used in an ad, is that common that they'll put the name of the songwriter somewhere?
I think it's pretty common. In America, it's kind of not cool, but in Japan, it's fine.
Yeah.
Put your name on it, it's fine.
I mean, there's been many times where I've watched a commercial and thought, wow, I wish I knew what that music was, you know? So, good. So yeah. Which 30 seconds? Was it like the...
It was the chorus. So basically, you know...
The really high voice.
Yeah, it was
stuff.
A surprise hit chorus. I mean, it was like the hit chorus of, you know, some song that doesn't even exist.
That
you know?
Didn't exist. Yeah, so then you had to write a song.
Sometimes that's how it happens. Yeah. So
in Japan, when people see the name Kishibashi, is that just gibberish? Does it mean anything?
It's a little exotic to them, too. You know, it sounds like Japanese. They don't think... It's not a real name, obviously.
Right, right.
So they're... They're intrigued. They really support me, you know, a little bit because they like to see Japanese speaking people overseas, you know, doing it, I guess, whatever that means.
Well, you know, when if we're going to talk about, you know, exotic things that aren't quite in the language, let's talk about your album title, Light, Lighght. So that is the famous Aram Saroyan poem from the from the mid 60s. That single word. Light,
yeah, and it really appealed to me because it's, you know, it's unconventional. At the time, it was groundbreaking in that, you know, you would, whereas poems were stanzas, and it's more of an experience as opposed to, you don't read it, you engulf it,
right.
And then you have a different feeling about the word, and I kind of related to it with my music.
And that extra GH, which of course is silent,
right.
Just adds a kind of... I mean, there's a certain Zen quality to it for sure, but there's also this sense of a kind of explosion of something in the middle of this word with this string of silent letters.
I know. It's really beautiful. And I looked for other words, you know, so I could just make it an homage to it, but I couldn't. It was perfect. I couldn't find a better word with the silent GH.
So you said that it kind of spoke to you because it's the way you think about your music.
Yeah, because I'm a classical musician, you know, at heart. Obviously, I play rock and roll, but it's like the way I approach it, you know, I like to break conventions. You know, I play violin a little differently, you know, think. And I'm not afraid to really to push the boundaries of convention.
Were you trained as a violinist only? Did you do any voice work?
No, the voice just kind of followed when I started singing songs and more people came to my shows when I started singing songs is how that happened.
So you started it with the violin and the looping and stuff.
I was really heavy into it, as an instrumentalist. I studied a lot of classical music and then I went into jazz and improvisation. And
all right. So and then you somehow made your way to the world of pop music, playing with Of Montreal and Regina Spektor. And were you composing even as you were playing as a sideman and a member of that band?
I was heavy with Regina. I was just, you know, just in her band.
Right,
you know,
right. But I mean, like, you know, when you were on the
absolutely,
road.
Yeah. Because I was a film scoring major in college. And, you know, so I did that on the side.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's my other side story.
But, okay.
So I did that off and on. And I've always had a composition background, and I did that. If I wasn't touring, I'd be making like jingles or working, you know, trying to do that kind of thing. And it actually kept me afloat for a while because I lived in New York City for about 10 years.
Where are you now?
I live in Athens, Georgia.
Ah, okay.
So, like, where? Doors, yeah, well, Kevin's my neighbor, you know. So
that's Kevin Barnes, who runs the band Of Montreal. There are a couple of Japanese words here and there, not many in the lyrics, but when you do use Japanese in your songs, what is that for? I mean, is that a reference to your own heritage? Is it just to that exoticism?
Well, I mean, I make my music for Americans, you know, because I am American. But when I started to look for different sounds, I discovered that Japanese actually works pretty well as a percussive kind of element. I have Japanese lyrics underneath English lyrics sometimes, and it's just an element of depth for somebody who might speak Japanese.
Yeah,
and also yeah.
And Japanese is it's an unstressed language, right?
Oh, that's correct. Yeah.
So there's no like.
Not kishibashi. It would be kishibashi.
Right. Right. So that kind of percussive sound.
My fans laughing. I know they're laughing.
So that when you talk about the sounds of English words are mm-hmm. seem to be as important to you as their meaning. So you know, it seems like you're playing with the voice as an instrument.
Originally when I started kishibashi, I really limited it to just voice and violin, and I really pushed it. You know, I really tried to see what I could do with it, and that's when I guess I started using Japanese.
Well, we're speaking with Kei Ishibashi and hearing some of the latest kishibashi record, which is called Light. Actually, we're hearing these songs in a live performance here today in the Soundcheck studio. You want to do Carry On Phenomenon next?
Sure.
All right. So once again, Kei will be picking up the violin and singing. We've got Daniel Bruner on bass and occasional keyboard, and Michael Savino on banjo. It is an unconventional band. Philip Meyer behind our drum kit. And once again, the album called Light. This song is called Carry On Phenomenon. It's kishibashi live on Soundcheck.
What a beautiful life away, naked from all the Apollonians, for the radiance burns on and on and on. Majestic with all the stallions, for the faithful truth burns on and 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 on. Oh, the way that you said to me, it awakened me to the beyond and on, like when the rain. Song, if I sang you one, so carry on.
carry on phenomenon. So you got the best of me, so amazingly. So carry on phenomenon.
Kishibashi live on Soundcheck with a song called Carry On Phenomenon. You will find that on the latest Kishibashi record called Light, L-I-G-H-G-H-T. So how do you control all the various, you know, in the writing process? Does it sort of grow out of the looping and the kind of the way the delays work or don't work?
Well, I kind of... I do a lot of improvisation. I have sessions with myself, and you know, if interesting sounds inspire me, I'll just quickly make a demo and then forget about it and record it, you know.
So when you leave here today, when you shut off the little black boxes,
what you just did
is gone forever.
It's gone, yeah.
Okay.
So I'm hoping somebody's recording.
Yes, I think we're doing that. has that affected the writing process?
I really like things spontaneous, you know, and I don't like to sit on anything that I know. So it's like if I do a loop and it's interesting, I'll try and record it for myself, and then I'll come back to it days later. And then I get bored of making loops, so I'll strum a guitar or ukulele or whatever's around. And if I get bored of that, I'll walk around and hum something, you know, if I had to.
And I guess the important thing to remember here is even as you're setting up the loops in real time, you're still able to have that live performance experience. It's not like you're playing to a tape, for example.
Oh, yeah. Like when we're playing, we make a conscious effort to show people that we are doing this and this could fall apart at any time, which it does many times. Guarantee you.
And then what happens?
I just laugh it off and then we're a little, fired. Yeah, you guys are fired.
The album is called Light, L-I-G-H-G-H-T, and it is out now from Kishibashi. Kay, always a pleasure to see you. Thanks for bringing the band in.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Did fate mistake us? Pair of star-crossed lovers. The savory ending was a drowned in salt and pepper. And as we danced together, I caught a funny smile. As I found you awake in the heat of the feast. Now you're gone forever now. Inside myself, you're
up next, the popular mashup artist known as Girl Talk and the rapper Freeway recently collaborated on an experimental mixtape called Broken Ankles. I'll talk to the self-described Pennsylvania Dream Team next on Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The wildly popular mashup artist known as Girl Talk, real name Greg Gillis, has teamed up with the Philadelphia rapper Freeway to release a new EP called Broken Ankles. The five songs combine Girl Talk's buoyant sampled beats with Freeway's signature flow to make an album that's a little different from what they've each done separately. Both Greg Gillis, Girl Talk, and Freeway join me here in the Soundcheck studio. Guys, welcome. In your case, Greg, welcome back.
Hello. Thanks for having me back.
Freeway, good to have you here as well.
Thanks for having me.
Greg, this is a big departure in sound from what we've come to know as Girl Talk recordings.
Yeah. I think you know, I think on the technical side, it's still the same idea where I'm still sampling music, and I've always worked in kind of wrappers into what I'm doing. But yeah, this is a bit more traditionally up the alley of a normal hip-hop project.
Freeway, was that your impression when Greg first came with normal hip-hop project, or did you think, what the heck is this?
I mean, that's what I was aiming for when we first started working. You know, the beats were definitely great. I definitely enjoyed picking through the beats and finding the tracks that I wanted. But I ultimately knew that I was going to just do what I normally do, you know, on the tracks.
So had you heard Greg's music before? Were you familiar with Girl Talk?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Part of the fun of Girl Talk has always been, I know where that's from. This is a little different. The samples are small enough that you have to do some work to kind of determine what came from where.
And I think some of the sources are a little bit more obscure. And I think some of the stuff on this were actually ideas I've had over the years, stuff I really wanted to work in but didn't necessarily fit into the world of Girl Talk, stuff I thought would be great samples, stuff I would love to work with, but it kind of didn't fit into the context of a normal Girl Talk album or show where you recognize everything.
Right. So Girl Talk is really a pop music-based project.
Yeah.
This is a little more alternative, underground, whatever.
Yeah, even though there is, you know, some pop music sources on there. A lot of them, actually, just a little bit more manipulated. And, you know, for me, people always ask, like, where does this go? What's the next step with doing this? And I had always said, like, with sample-based music, it can go so many different directions. Right. And, you know, I think this project is a good indication of that, where, you know, it's not far off.
I want to ask you guys in a moment about the video for this song. But first, let's play a little bit of this song called Tolerated. This is from the EP called Broken Ankles. It's Girl Talk and Freeway, also featuring Waka Flocka Flame on this song.
Yes, sir.
I think I tolerated all the haters I can stand. Pop off a slug just to send people a telegram. We step in, the people hate, cause we floss. We really ball, they really can't heavyweight. We set them up and they took the bait. Just give me a reason, I come through and make that heat up wake. Haters get to watch her up, we get it popping. No battles, we send you shots in your apple. We leave it rotten, people hear about you watching, but don't hear about you crying.
So that's a little
pauses,
bit
I'll do a proper, I'm Betty Crocker, got my cake up.
That's a little bit of Tolerated from Broken Ankles, the new EP, a free download online from Girl Talk, a.k.a. Greg Gillis, and Freeway, the Philadelphia rapper. Actually, Greg, you're from Pennsylvania too, right?
Yep, from Pittsburgh.
From Pittsburgh. So east of the state, west of the state, coming together.
Yep, we're the Pennsylvania Dream Team.
So,
PDT.
So is this a song about tolerance? Because the video is you guys getting increasingly intolerant of other people on the sidewalk as you walk down the street, and ends with people being dismembered. I mean, it's all done with a wink and a nod, but it's a pretty gruesome little film that you guys have put together.
Yeah, man, the video, it was awesome shooting the video.
Yeah, it was kind of an idea where, you know, we were thinking, how can we represent the song? And it was a certain thing where I wanted to do something where we would both fit into it but not be weird or out of our element. So I think the winks and the nods are part of that, where we wanted to make something that was, you know, representing kind of the anger of the song but still kind of have a slight humorous edge to it.
All right. Now, Greg, how different a process is this, creating beats when you know there's going to be someone rapping over it?
Yeah, it was very different. I mean, I think for Girl Talk album, it's very trial and error based, and it's meticulous, just hours and hours of trying out different combinations. With this, it was more, it's easier in a fun way of just picking out a sample and then working on that. And I could usually finish like one beat in a day, which is normally a lot quicker pace than my normal work. But then on the other end, it is a little bit more difficult giving it over to someone, because I've never really collaborated with anyone.
Right.
So to give that trust and be like, now you do something on it, was a new experience for me.
And you were a fan of Freeway, and was he your first choice?
You know, it's like I've been following Freeway for a long time, and the big thing is that the beats were kind of a wide range of sounds,
right.
And I wanted an MC who could sound good on a variety of different things, and I wanted to change pace and kind of, I feel like that's a signature sound of what I do, of having quick starts and stops, so I wanted to get someone who would kind of thrive off that as opposed to someone who might get kind of lost in the shuffle. So I thought Freeway was my number one pick, and reached out, and I was excited that he was down to collaborate.
So what did you end up getting, Freeway? Did he just, like, shower you with beats?
Yeah, I think he sent me, like, 100 or was it 80? Yeah. Something like that, 80 beats. And I just started going through them, and, like, I would pick. If I hear something to the beat, then I might come up with, like, a little concept for it or come up with a hook for it. And then I just took it to the studio and just started working on it.
And was Greg there while you were in the studio?
Yeah, when we first actually started working, he was there. Yeah.
Okay. The word is that you don't write anything down. Is that true?
Yeah, no hands.
So, are you freestyling or
The process is I sit down and I listen to the beat and I just zone out and I think about what I'm going to say in my head. Like if it's a 16, I will put the whole 16 together in my head, then I will go lay it.
Okay. And it's sort of improvised, but clearly, we heard that clip from Tolerated. You were right there, you've got that.
It's almost like that writing. Verse, yeah. I just do everything in my head. Like, I just think about what I'm going to do, and I line it up.
Let's hear a
little something I picked up from Jay-Z.
Broken Ankles is the name of the EP by Girl Talk and Freeway. Here's another excerpt. This is called Tell Me Yeah.
Mike's do this for recreation. You in the studio pacing. Need to ask yourself a question. Is you working or you wasting time? I take my time to make a rhyme and make a diamond vacay in Central Pay. Man, I want you making time. Real talk, me and the homie girl talk. We combine and we thinking way beyond making them hits. Man, we do this for the culture. Married to the game, I made my mixtape at the altar. Now that I got the fame, you need a 16 that'll cost ya. Don't you try to play me, got a 16 that'll off ya. Don't make a make it rain on what they're praying. Just keep it sunny. Know how we do, ain't nothing moving but the money. Had to grind hard just to get it. Listen, if you ain't kidding, you ain't getting nothing from me. Do you love what I'm cooking up? They holler, yeah.
A little bit of Tell Me Yeah from Girl Talk and Freeway. Their collaborative EP is called Broken Ankles. It is out now and is available as a free download online. Now, we've talked a little bit about this in the past, Greg. As Girl Talk, you are in such a gray legal area with all the sampling and stuff that it would be hard for you to sell what you do. So,
right.
In general, you have done... Basically, you make your living doing live shows.
Right. And, it's like a lot of musicians these days who don't have that issue. But, you put something out there online and who knows how many people are going to buy it. And then from there, there's other avenues of making money. And for me, it's been touring over the past few years.
So is that why this is available as a free download? Because even with the smaller, more obscure samples, you're still in that
Yeah. Kind of... And I think the decision to release the music for free was never... because of the copyright concern, I still believe it should qualify under fair use, and you could sell it if you want to. But I have just found that, starting around 2008, for my projects, it seems to be more lucrative to just give it away and see what happens. And for me, it's always more exciting to see how many people can this reach as opposed to, going the old school way of pressing up a CD and who knows how many people are going to check it out. So, people are going to download it and look at it on the internet. So I'd rather just give it away and see what happens. I feel like for my projects, that's been the best thing to kind of get the word out.
Now, did Freeway know that going in?
Yeah, I actually think it kind of relates even to, mixtape culture in general.
Sure.
Definitely. Usually before I put out an album, I drop a free mixtape. That's part of the culture of hip-hop, so I was with it 100%.
So is there a plan then for you guys to tour this stuff?
Yeah, we've been doing I've been having Freeway come out at some festival dates, which has been great for me. I've always tried to keep the show moving and keep it building and changing both musically and production-wise, and having Freeway come out on stage and perform live has been awesome just to kind of change it up a little bit. So, and there should be some select dates, club dates and stuff like that this summer.
Okay. So, Freeway, how different was this for you? How different rapping over these beats than, something that maybe you did yourself or someone from your crew in Philly had done?
It wasn't really different, it was definitely a huge variety of beats to pick from, so that was probably, the most difficult part, picking through the beats and finding which beats I wanted to use. But besides that, the process was cool. We was in the studio. And we worked real good together. It was a great experience.
So there are probably more than these five songs.
Way more.
All right.
Great ones, too.
Here's one that is on Broken Ankles, the EP. This is called Lived It.
I started with the hottest label ever. Yeah, I came in a game like a kid with a cheat code. I'm from the neighborhood for the people. Sell drugs just to eat. Try to leave, but they barely make it ever. Yeah, it's hard to make it out. The hood like the legal system. Easy and hard to make it out. Everybody got doubts. But I was down for the bout. I fought like Floyd Mayweather. I was screaming.
no chips, ain't lovable, ain't huggable, ain't feeling that it gave me in my stomach was despicable. So I flipped bricks, grabbed the whip, then I pulled up in the six. They were screaming, hey, lover boy. A couple months passed, I grabbed another toy, then grabbed my mother one, and my mother's boy.
Lived It is the name of the song from Broken Ankles, a free download EP by Girl Talk, a.k.a. Greg Gillis, and Freeway. Girl Talk is Greg Gillis, the Pittsburgh-based mashup artist. Freeway is the Philadelphia rapper, and they're collaborating on these five songs, and as we've just heard, a bunch of others, too. Freeway actually mentioning Girl Talk in the lyrics to Tell Me Yeah that we heard before. Mm-hmm. And Greg, as Girl Talk, how many samples might there be in an average Girl Talk track? Aside from this.
Just... Yeah. It's hard to say. You know, I would say on my last album, which was 70 minutes, there was maybe like 300 or 400.
Yeah.
So to me, the songs are kind of arbitrary divisions because I do think of it as an album. So usually like in a minute, there might be, you know, 5 to 10 samples.
Okay, now we just heard a minute of Lived It. How many samples would we have heard there?
There was just a couple, but there are definitely tracks on this record that do have the same number. But I think it's used in a different way, whereas it'll be, you know, there it's like one melody, and the drums might be a kick drum from Paul McCartney and a snare drum from Nine Inch Nails and things like that. So I think on this album, there are points that are more dense than anything I've done in terms of layering, but you kind of hear it as a whole, which is always the goal, to not be necessarily presenting or curating these songs, but trying to make something new out of them.
Freeway, does it matter to you where the samples come? I mean, are you one of those guys who are like, I need to know where that break comes from?
I mean,
I need to know where
if we're doing an actual project where we're selling the actual project, then yeah, because, you know, you have to pay for the samples. But with a project like this, I don't care. As long as it sounds good, let's go.
All right, so... what's next for you? I mean, having done this with Greg, I mean, are you looking for...
I just started working on the next full-length solo album, you know, so I just started cooking up for that. We got a couple records left over. Hopefully a few of them might make the album. We cut some more stuff, and I'm just grinding, you know, just working.
And Greg, for you, this you said you've never collaborated before. This seems to have turned out pretty well.
Yeah, I want to do more of this. And, you know, it's been fun with this, putting it out. And I think some of my fan base, you know, a lot of people take into it. And then other people are like, what is this? And I think it's been exciting to take this material now and work it into my normal live show. And I've been starting to remix this material and use it as source material.
Ooh.
So I think in that context for some fans of my previous work who maybe were like, what is this change of pace? I think in that context, it might make more sense for them. So looking forward to a summer of shows and bringing Freeway out and kind of remixing this material.
All right. The EP is called Broken Ankles. You can download it for free online. It's by Girl Talk, a.k.a. Greg Gillis, and Freeway, the Philadelphia rapper. The Pennsylvania Dream Team is Freeway
AKA
referred to.
A.k.a. the best
to.
Beard in hip-hop.
It's Radio Freeway, but it is an impressive beard, though. So
thank you.
Thanks for bringing it into the studio. Greg, good to see you again as well.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
We don't only sing it, we bring it where you sleep.
Tomorrow on the show, Marc Maron is the host of the hugely successful podcast WTF, in which he attempts to get to the bottom of his own various neuroses by interviewing all sorts of pop culture figures. He's also got a TV show on IFC called Maron. Began its second season a couple of weeks ago. Marc will join us with a Pick 3 playlist of some classic rock and roll and talk about WTF's 500th episode. Plus, songwriter Jenny Lewis is well known as the singer with the guitar pop band Rilo Kiley. Her third solo album was 6 years in the making. It won't be out until the end of July, but she'll give us a preview with a live performance tomorrow on Soundcheck. That does it for the show today. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.